Today's show is brought to you by Seven Little Cupcakes, a custom bakery for all occasions. You may find similar products elsewhere, but Seven Little Cupcakes offers top-of-the-line customer service paired with low prices. Their delightful treats should be available and affordable for all. They welcome the opportunity to earn your trust and deliver you the best service in the industry. Seven Little Cupcakes is located at 1021 Sandusky Street, Suite C in Perrysburg, Ohio. They are open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So give them a call at area code 419-252-0858. And now, let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring Joe Shortridge and his sister. That's me.
And
Shorty.
Me.
Just call me Shorty. Joe.
Yes.
Joe and I are very tired. We had a long night of ghost hunting last night.
National Ghost Hunting Day.
That was awesome. I hope everybody who's listening out there got to go somewhere and ghost hunt in their area and take place in that big, huge, giant paranormal...
The Parafest.
Parafest. Wow. What? I don't even know what to call Parafest. It. Worldwide. Ghosts everywhere.
Yeah, I saw that they were doing it in Australia and everything.
That is awesome.
And it was a shotgun start per time zone for 10 o'clock. It was pretty neat.
That was cool. Just to be part of something that big.
All over the world.
The ginormous universe of ghosts. Anyways, what's going on, brother?
Like you said, when I tell you what, I got up at, 11 o'clock? It's been a while. I mean, I've come home from shows at 5 in the morning, but to drive 2.5 hours from Galan, Ohio, or I think they say Galan.
I still don't know how to pronounce it. It's G-A-L-I-O-N. It's either Galion
or Galion.
Galion. I don't even know.
Down there in Ohio.
Somewhere in Ohio.
Yeah.
Far, far away from our houses.
Yeah, and naturally we took the long way.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do. We saw something on the map and it said Ghost Town. And it was like, you know, not an electronic map, an actual real physical map of Ohio. And it's a ghost town, so we had to drive there and try to find it. Of course, we couldn't find it.
Yeah, and it was getting later in the night, and we're like, we need to get going. And so we turned on the GPS, and it said, 2 hours from your destination. We're like, wait a minute.
Wah, wah.
It's only an hour and a half drive from our house.
Yeah.
So
it was... That was just how we roll.
Yeah.
I think every road trip we had
rolling out of the way in Ohio.
Lost in Ohio in farm country.
Did see some cows.
Yeah. Oh, and the llamas.
The
alpacas. We saw some alpacas. I'll pack you a lunch.
Yeah. Stop drinking out of an ice container on our show.
I know. I was thirsty. It's been a long, long night.
What did you do today?
Okay, so after I got up at 11:30, 12 o'clock, I rolled out of bed. I went and did the buddy walk. So if people don't know what the buddy walk is, it's every year, it's an annual thing that people who have loved ones who have Down syndrome, we go and we just celebrate them. And I have my love of my life, Mr. Caleb. I was in Caleb's crew. My best friend has a son who has Down syndrome, and he is the cutest thing you ever seen in your life. So we just went out and we were part of Caleb's crew, and we went and supported, and it was just an amazing day. It was down at the Mud Hen Stadium, downtown Toledo, and we walked around and just had a great day for it.
Yeah, and it is a really nice day out.
It was beautiful.
I, on the other hand, went to the cemetery.
Did you?
Yeah.
For what?
I was looking for our grandparents' site, and I called Mom, and she told me one place, and Dad told me another. His directions were, you go in, turn left, and it's right by the giant tree.
There's a lot of giant trees. Yeah. That's an old cemetery. <It is. laughs>
But I did it. You know, mm-hmm. I went in, and I went, and I saw this giant pine tree. So mm-hmm. I'm like, that might be what he's talking about. And I went walking around, and it kind of pisses me off. You got a beautiful cemetery like that, very well maintained, but yet all the tombstones that are on the ground are getting completely covered with grass. The area that I went to, you couldn't even tell it was a cemetery.
Oh.
There was no stones visible. Wow. I found a couple that I scraped my foot on and mm-hmm. read, but yeah, I mean, come on.
That's so disrespectful.
It is.
You know, that's, you pay that money to have your loved ones buried there and remembered, and mm-hmm. they just mow over.
And the whole idea behind a cemetery is so you can go and see the monuments.
Right, and visit.
Visit the loved ones, but yep. you can't find Remember. Them because they're, even their stones are buried. And it's, you know, there's three phases of death.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
You got the physical death, the death when your body is put in the ground or cremated. Mm-hmm. And it's the last time, the third death is when the last time someone speaks the name.
Yeah.
Well, tombstones sink into the ground.
Yeah.
And
nobody
they ever. Don't cut them. I mean, they just mow over them. So the grass just grows over them. And
maybe you should start a business, Joe, cleaning off gravestones.
Gee, yeah, maybe that's an idea.
Inside joke. Anyway, so yeah, we had a long night last night. We were at the Gill House.
Yes.
In Galena. No, I keep wanting to say Galena. Galion.
Galion. We're going to say Galion. If that's wrong,
yeah, hey. Just forgive us.
Yeah.
We're tired. So anyways, yeah, we had a very long investigation last night at the Gill House.
Was it amazing?
I was trying not to use that word on this show. I was trying my best. You had to bring it
I was
up.
Listening to our episode from the Paranormal Toledo conference.
Oh, God.
And I was going to get a clicker Here out and click again. Every time you said amazing. I started listening to it. I'm like, I said it too.
Yeah, just as many times as I did.
Well, close.
Awesome.
But anyhow, yeah, we were at the Gill House, which was really cool. I mean,
what a neat place.
I was blown away by the woodworking that they have an oval dining room,
mm-hmm.
which the floor and everything, it's like you could tell that it was steamed wood that they bent instead of cutting the wood. It's just really nice
Beautiful.
Place.
Old property. Needs a lot of work, though, I'm telling you.
They're working on it, but it needs work still.
Yeah.
They need donations.
Yeah, I saw the donation jar, and I meant to get over there and put something in.
I put something in.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good, yeah. I just, you know, it's weird that we were just talking about this last night. You go in to investigate in some of these older places and, you know, abandoned places, and now I understand why Zach Began wears the respiratory mask, because, oh, I've been coughing all night when I got home. I just could feel like the dust and the dirt mm-hmm. in my lungs, and I'm like, oh God, I knew I was in for it this morning.
When you were doing some video, I could see in the light the dust flaking down from the ceiling and everything.
Yeah.
But they're working on it too. I mean, it's getting renovated.
Yeah, what a beautiful, huge old mansion that mm-hmm. was. Man, I would love to have something like that. I would restore that. Oh, live in that big old house.
No, I'm not that big into really big homes
mm-hmm.
because it's just myself.
Uh-huh. And it's 15 cats.
They're my kids.
They're all named George.
Yeah. No, but anyhow, walking through that house last night, I'm thinking, this would make a cool bed and breakfast.
Yeah, really.
You know?
So awesome. It was so beautiful.
But yeah, it's called the Gill House. And
tell us a little bit about it. So people have some understanding.
I was going to mention to them to get online and see if you can make some donations to it, because they definitely need to get this house fixed up before it, you know, they're doing the renovations, but it might be too slow. And you just end up being an endless circle. So if you, want to make donations, get on there. It's called the Gill House, and it's in Galion, Galion, Ohio. So, and if you're visiting Gay Lion,
here we go. Here we go, folks.
But anyhow, so the Gill House, the one that's standing in right now, is actually the third house on that property.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
The first house was like a log cabin, I believe.
Okay.
Second house was built, mm-hmm. and they, in 1902, they decided to build a bigger home.
Oh.
So they took the house that was on the property, mm-hmm. moved it back, I would assume 200 yards, mm-hmm. and that's where it's sitting now, but they built another huge home. It's like 3,000 square foot home.
Wow.
On the property that's on now. And that was built in 1902 to 1904 it took to build it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really, I tell you what, it's been a long time since I've been in a big old home like that, and this thing was amazing.
Yeah, I love old architecture, and I was just like the wood carvings, the pocket doors, mm-hmm. and, you know, just some of the like columns and flooring. And then what about the thing in the doors?
Yeah.
That was neat.
Upstairs, I don't know if it's through the whole house because there's, like I said, they're renovating them, and there's somebody painted
all the wood.
So they're scraping the wood or scraping the paint off. But in those old homes,
breaks my heart.
The doors have little symbols on them, mm-hmm. and it was mushrooms and trees and stuff.
But it was cool because it kind of looked like
it looked like the grain of the wood.
Yeah, that's what I was.
So and that is, I guess they said, a sign of the builder of that door.
Oh, neat.
You know, because nowadays,
like a little hidden treasure.
Yeah, nowadays the factories just pump them out, but back then they were actually hand built doors.
Yeah, don't you miss that handcrafting? And no. Another neat thing.
No, I don't miss it at all.
Oh, my Lord.
I'll stay building my bat homes and
coffins. Yeah, bat houses. Joe builds bat houses.
Yeah.
They're very cool. If you want one, let them know on a Facebook page. Anyway, so the one thing I thought was very fascinating and that I learned last night about old, you know, mansions or old homes is about the doorknobs. So if you ever go into an older home and you see that some of the doors have glass or crystal doorknobs and some of them have metal ones, the difference is the people who own the home, their doorknobs are glass or crystal. And then the doors that had the metal were where the workers stayed, yeah, or the staff.
The staff's rooms.
So you could tell the difference between like the owners and staff.
Yeah.
So cool.
And
so fascinating to me.
The two master bedrooms, mm-hmm. the male's bed or the husband's room and mm-hmm. the wife's room, the closets had a little secret cut through.
Yeah, so, that was cool. A little secret passageway
that
for
was
little
really
rendezvous.
Yeah,
in the
so the staff
the
doesn't know that they're getting
it. Oh! Well, you know.
Hey, they're married. They can do stuff like that.
Yeah, but you know, they didn't want the staff to know.
No. That's.
What's that?
I was going to say uncouth, but that's not the word I'm thinking of.
I'll get
but anyhow, it's
source.
Really cool. Their property was about 160 acres, and it was all farmland, of course. And it was basically, and I think it's, well, Bloomer and Nellie were the ones that had the house built.
Okay.
Gill. Mm-hmm. But I think this is wrong, that one of the Gill family that lived there was the founder of the town. I don't have that wrote down. No, he was the first school teacher in the town.
That's right.
Yeah. And the Gill family's only son actually started up the first motorcycle club in Galleon.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
It was interesting, like all the old photographs that they had in there. They had really old photographs and some of the schematics of the house.
Yeah, the original plans.
Original plans to the house and family photos for, you know, 100 years of family photos and just kind of all set in the house, so you could see like who lived there, and it was so interesting. I love the you know, in the 20s and 30s, just the dress and the hairstyles and the hats and the furs. It was fantastic.
Yeah, we were talking about that on the way home, about could you imagine what the place looked like back then, because you see the photos,
gorgeous.
And the old brown and white photos, basically.
Yeah,
so you can't tell what the colors were really.
Yeah.
And I can imagine with the amount of money they had, all the curtains and all that had to have been just elaborate as heck.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Anyways.
And then when the Civil War hit, mm-hmm. the wife got in a panic and made the curtains into clothing made it into a dress. Oh, no, that was
something. That was something
that
else.
That was something else. Something that was gone in
your memory.
Wind. Yeah. But a few interesting facts
rabbit
about the
holes.
House. Did you know, okay, the first car ever driven in the town of Galeon, uh-huh. Galeon, was driven by Henry Ford to visit the family. He drove all the way from Detroit.
No way.
Now think about our drive last night, our drive home, which was the actual straight route.
I kept falling asleep.
It was a 2-hour drive home, and we were doing 70.
Yeah, and the thunder and lightning. Ugh,
that was cool, though.
It was
the lightning lit everything up. But Model T or Model A mm-hmm. or whatever that he drove, top speed was probably 20 or 30 miles an hour.
Maybe. Oh, my gosh.
So think about
how
long.
Probably took him, like, all day to drive from Detroit to
exactly.
Galeon.
Where did he get gas?
I don't know.
You know?
Maybe he brought it with him.
He had to.
He probably had a little entourage of
Models. It was probably a bunch of cars, not just him. But another interesting thing about it is President Hardy, if that's correct.
Harding,
okay. He was born 5 miles from the house.
Oh, my gosh.
And he grew up in the town and then became president and all that jazz. And when he died, they had the wake at the Gill House.
Oh, my gosh. So interesting.
Some of the people that were there was, of course, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, and Harvey Firestone.
Wow.
Okay. And you know that President Harding had to have been there also when he was alive because he was in town and they
were he went and visited.
Affluent, you know, family. Another thing interesting, too, is that, do you remember seeing the picture of the kids on the mantle?
Yeah.
I don't know her name, but the third girl over, I believe she married Thomas Edison.
No way.
Yeah. I was watching a video this morning about trying to get some more info about the house, and I believe that's what they said.
Oh, that's so cool.
It was
so
a quick thing in the video, and I couldn't rewind it because the way I had the computer away from me and stuff. But it was really interesting to find that kind of stuff out.
Yeah, that was cool.
But, okay, so in 1924 to 36, the Talbot family moved in.
Okay.
And this is where it gets interesting.
All right.
Okay. The Talbots, they lived there for a few years, and the mother-in-law, Mr. Talbot's mother.
Okay.
Well, she ended up moving in the house. And they did not get along so well.
So the daughter
and
the mother-in-law did not get along.
Not at all. And when
when
she found out that her mother-in-law was moving in, she was like, not over my dead body.
Oh.
And the mother-in-law came in, created all kinds of havoc.
Oh, boy.
So what they did was, they actually built a wall right down, I'd say the middle of the house, but it's kind of towards the front. But they built a wall halfway up the stairs.
Thought that was so strange
looking. To separate her part of the house to theirs.
Oh, my God. I mean, why would you destroy a beautiful house like that with this wall?
And it's weird because the staircase, they didn't break the staircase at all. They just built around it, literally.
Oh, my gosh.
So the staircase is like cut in half.
And that was a beautiful old staircase. That was really, really nice.
I took some photos of it. Hopefully, I'll throw them up on the Facebook
page.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
But we did the investigation there. Right. And it was really great people.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so cool. I mean, there was, in my mind, though, I think it was too many people.
A little bit, yeah. Because there was a lot of background noise. There was a lot of people talking. You know, you couldn't really get quiet to listen.
And I recorded pretty much the whole night
listening
for EVPs and stuff. And I went through and I actually listened to the whole thing today and didn't hear anything. No, too much background noise.
Yeah, there was a lot.
I mean, great people. It was fun.
Yeah, it was a great time.
And I kind of sat back and just let everybody do it. I was the guest there. I wasn't, you know, in charge or nothing. So I didn't take charge.
We paid to get there.
Yeah. And well, that's what I mean. And I didn't, but it was so interesting. A lot of the stuff that they did, it was different than any other ghost hunt or investigation that we've done.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah. So Ohio Ghost Hunters was the sponsor. And we just want to give a shout out to Peggy for putting on such a great an event.
Yeah, she was awesome.
Yeah, she was really cool. The one thing she did do that I really thought was cool and I had never seen before was she had a moonstone pendulum. And we were up in the attic, and we were just investigating and asking some questions. And at that time, I think there was maybe five people up there.
Yeah, there wasn't too many people.
There was a bunch of people, but then maybe five or six of them left. And we were up there, and it was just you and I and Peggy, and then the couple. And she was asking questions with a moonstone, and it was on like a long silver chain. And yet for yes, it would spin in a circle, and for no, it would swing back and forth. And we seemed to be getting some really good responses on that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just thought that was something
we're going to have to look into. Yeah. So we can bring the information to other people. And it was blessed.
So it was really cool. She had explained to me what it was because I wasn't sure, but I was watching. I was like, okay, she's not moving her hand. And then she would ask questions and she would say, okay, well, make a bigger circle for yes. And this thing would swing way out.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. I thought that was cool.
Then there was like a sudden change where it was answering the questions, and all of a sudden every question was known.
Yeah.
No matter what she's asked.
Yeah.
So either something blocked that entity or something. And a lot of the spirits that they say are in the house are kids,
mm-hmm.
even though there was no kids that actually died in the house. But yeah. I think it was because of the residual energy of the mm-hmm. childhood,
mm-hmm.
especially up in the attic, because in the attic they actually had a basketball net.
Yeah.
And the father played basketball with the kids, and there was actually a cistern up there that mm-hmm. they collected water.
Okay.
In the old, back in the day, they collected water in the attic for their plumbing and stuff.
Oh, that's so cool.
And the kids would go up there and swim and have parties.
Party
in the attic.
But it doesn't make sense to have water in an attic.
But it's higher up. And
so like a crab.
It's almost like a water tower type yeah, deal thing.
I get that, but what if it leaks?
Kids swimming and splash water on it?
I just don't get that.
Yeah.
But, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Water ever.
So, anyways.
Yeah, the investigation was fun, though.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
Few people got some good, good evidence.
Mm-hmm.
We did. It was the National Ghost Hunt event. So at 10 o'clock, we all got in one room.
Mm-hmm.
And a series of questions.
Yeah, so what kind of the purpose was to kind of join forces and ask questions and use all of our energies to try to, I don't know, I want to say stir up, but stir up some paranormal activity. And all the other places around the United States were doing the same thing at the same time.
Yeah, same questions at the same time. They were all wrote down.
And it was on a live Facebook feed. They did.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very interesting.
It was neat that to pull together an event that happens all over the world. Like yeah. I said, I saw some places were available in Australia.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wonder what the time difference is.
Andrew?
Yeah.
Are you listening, Andrew?
Yes.
Andrew Helmich from Impact Images from Australia.
Hi, Andrew.
But each time zone had, they had, like I said, it was a shotgun start. So
mm-hmm.
every time zone at 10 o'clock did the same questions and, But I listened to our recording and I didn't hear anything.
Yeah. I was in the basement. And I went into this room by myself, and I was using this SV7 spirit box, and I was asking questions, and I had my small little digital recorder there, and I think I also had your recorder, or Zoom 6.
Okay.
And I was asking some questions, and I haven't had a chance because, it just happened last night to listen back to my digital recorder, but at one point I had to ask a question. I was just talking and like, who's here? Do you know my name? And on the spirit box, it sounded like it said Jennifer.
Oh,
cool. Yeah, it was kind of cool. So I got to get that.
Listen to that back and see.
Yeah. See. Well,
we were in what I call the Christmas tree room, and we did a spirit box thing there too. Or no, sorry. I meant in the basement.
Yeah.
We were in the basement over kind of towards the side. I know this is podcast and they don't see it, but
we'll anyhow, explain this to you.
So we did a Spirit Box session down there.
Yeah.
And I listened to that today, and I think we got some responses. I wrote down the times and all that, so I'm going to go back and listen to them a little better.
Yeah, we'll bring that to you at a later date as soon as we get that edited.
Yeah, it's because there was a lot of noise.
Yeah, it was a lot of background noise because there were so many people in there that were talking and trying to do...
Well, they were doing their own investigations. Yeah,
and everybody had a different type of piece of equipment that was like making noises and beeps and bleeps. And
yeah, that tablet
that
lady had, that was really annoying. I mean, it might work for her, but it just kept going like a submarine.
Yeah, sound like bloom. It's like bloom.
That, and even when we were doing our roundtable EVP session, someone on Facebook commented that it was annoying. And if you're going to bring equipment like that to an investigation, at least wear
headphones
or even so you're looking at it. And the only reason it's making that noise is because it's telling you that something is around or that. Turn that volume off if you're going to stare at the screen anyways.
Yeah. Just be respectful of other ghost hunters because they're paying the same amount of money to be there as you are. And, you know, I want everybody to enjoy their experience and,
but one thing that was cool, her husband had a tablet also, but he had a plug-in thermal camera.
Oh, I saw that.
That he plugged into the top of it and used the
thermal imaging.
Yeah, that was
kind of
cool.
Neat. Yeah,
that was really neat.
There was a lot of hot and cold spots in that house.
Yeah,
and you know it's hard because it's such an old house and the windows are old and the. You know, you gotta be really careful when you're in an environment like that because you don't want to misinterpret, you know, getting chills or a cold spot because you're in an old drafty house.
Yeah.
So, you know, it takes a long time to, you know, go through a huge house like that and investigate and just make sure that, you know, you're not creating false evidence.
Yeah.
You know, you want to make sure that.
You know, and Peggy was, when we were in the one room, a bunch of group of us, she mentioned that it was the attic actually, and she noted the temperature, and she said that she's had where she feels cold spells, but the temperature doesn't change. You know, so that's something
well, it's
too.
Always good to have, you know, as many pieces of equipment as you can, so you can, you know, bunk or debunk.
Yeah, and you want that variety. And also, if you're using meters, like we've mentioned it before. It's always good to use 2 meters so that you don't get false readings.
Yeah. And we seem to be getting some hits in that one area at the top of the steps going into the attic.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then again, you're very close to the conduit too. So, you know, you have to make sure that when you are using like an EMF detector that you know where the electricity runs in the house.
Exactly.
If there is electricity and wherever you're investigating.
Are you talking about the back stairway? It was, right outside the attic?
Yes.
That was really interesting because you did show where all the conduit was in the wall by holding it close. Mm-hmm. But then when you moved to the banister, that was good 6 foot away.
Yeah.
And,
that was cool.
You know, they said that there's a lot of kid residual energy in there, and it almost seemed like the kids were playing on the banister.
Yeah. That was, we were getting some good hits there.
Because it wasn't consistent.
Yeah.
You know, the conduit.
Is a constant.
Yeah.
That was cool. Oh, that'll be our word for the show. That was cool. It's not amazing. That was cool.
Oh,
we've been saying that a lot.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was cool. Cool.
Like,
cool.
For sure.
Cool. Too cool for
Too
school.
Too cool for school.
We're dorks.
I know.
Well, that's all right. It's our show and we'll do what we want.
Yeah. Okay, so... Like I said,
hi, folks. How are you?
Hello. They say that there was, but the other ghost adventure.
We need a sticker that says, who are they?
Yeah, who are they? But the other ghost investigators, I said adventurers. Of course, we're all adventurers. But anyhow, the other one's the Big Dog Paranormal.
Yeah, we want to give a shout out to Big Dog Paranormal was
dudes
there.
Dudes were cool.
Yes, very awesome.
From Perrysburg, aren't they?
Oh, one was from Perrysburg and two were from Fremont, I believe. But yeah.
They were cool. But they were saying that they go there a lot.
Hmm.
And they've actually seen apparitions of kids. They've seen people on the stairway.
And then there was another one that somebody, I think it was in their group, had seen there was an apparition of Johnny Cakes.
Yeah, the Indian.
So he's a Native American, and I don't know where what his story is, but we want to research that. But they said that he would, his whole face would show up, and he'd be very aggressive and come like right up on you.
One of the girls in the group, I don't know if it was last week or, but anyhow, time ago, she actually had the full face apparition come right at her face.
Yeah.
And she said that it was like a floating head.
Yeah.
You know.
Scary. I would be freaking out.
Yeah.
If I saw that. But then I would be like, well, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. So when I was in that room by myself, I was trying to contact him, but I don't think I was getting anything.
I just think there was too many people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun to get together with a bunch of people like that, but for an investigation, I just think there was too many people. I mean, they did do something that was really cool. And they separated into two teams.
Mm-hmm.
One went to the attic, one went to the basement, which gave a good separation between the two groups.
Yeah.
But then again, once everybody kind of broke off and did their own investigations, there was just, I don't know.
Like, yeah, because you were in one room and you were trying to, you know, record or get some out of it. And then there's people in the next room and they're doing the same thing and you can hear them talking and they can hear you talking and you can't hear any ghosts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spirits or whatever you want to like call it.
I think it, but it was really neat that it was a good gathering of people with the same interests and there were a lot of good stories told. But yeah, I'm curious to find out, and I haven't talked to anybody, but I'm curious to find out what the other investigations came up with, because I know Erie Shores was it Erie Shores, were they at, no, who was at the Toledo Yacht Club?
Oh yeah, that was Erie Shores. Okay. Paranormal. Yeah. I thought you meant last night.
No, I'm talking for the National Ghost Hunting.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
And then I forget what the other they at the Collingwood last night.
I don't know if anybody was at Collingwood last night,
but anyhow, I looked on Facebook, I didn't see much from all the other groups, so let's hear it, guys. What did you come up with?
Yeah.
Did you have a...
Leave us something on our Facebook page. What happened on National Ghost Hunting Day? Where were you and what did you see?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure if we go to their website, I know it takes a couple of days for everybody to get everything together, but I'm sure once we go to all their websites, we're going to be seeing some good evidence because, like we said, it was all over the country.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody had a good time.
They must have. Everybody's still sleeping, I think
the party went on longer than we did because we had to drive, and those guys were lucky and they stayed local. But you know, I was thinking about staying local, but then I thought, I saw the Gill House and I'm like, that is so cool, we got to go.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was. I tell you what, I definitely go back. It was a really cool place.
Yeah, if we could get in there by ourselves, that would be awesome.
Yeah, even if we could just, you know, next time Ohio Ghost Hunters do their investigations there, you know, tag along. Or hang out. We can just hang.
Hanging out. Oh, man. I won't sing for you. No? I'm so tired. I'm just like loopy today. Yeah. But anyways, so just something really interesting happened on the way to the ghost hunt. And I just wanted to give a shout out. We stopped in Upper Sandusky. It's a small town, USA. And we went into this pizza place because I was like, I got to find some place with Wi-Fi because I had to do a work thing. And it was like kind of an emergency. And we were like, okay, we got to get off the expressway and find this small town. And we got to find some place with Wi-Fi. So we pull into the small town and we drive down the main street. Okay, there's not even a subway. This is how small. And you know, subways are everywhere. Everywhere. I mean, you go, there's a subway. There's no subway in this town. But they had like four pizza parlors or five pizza parlors.
Yeah, it was like pizza heaven.
In this little tiny one or two light town. So we stop at this place. And it's a national chain pizza place. I won't say what it's called, but it rhymes with Wigago.
Wigago. Is that east of Wigago?
Somewhere
over there.
Pizza place.
Yeah.
In Upper Sandusky. And we walk in, and they have like a pizza buffet, and we're like starving, so we're going to stop. And I go to the girl who's working the counter, who looks so enthused to be there. And I said, do you have Wi-Fi? And she goes, yeah, we got Wi-Fi. I'm like, okay, cool. She goes, but we don't give out the password. I'm like, what? She goes, we have Wi-Fi, but we don't give out the password. It's not what we do. I'm like, then why tell people you have Wi-Fi?
I could have swore there was a sign on the door that said Wi-Fi.
It probably did. So I'm like, here I am, and I've got this emergency situation I got to deal with, and I have to log on to my laptop, and I could not get any Wi-Fi. I was so upset. I'm just like, seriously?
It was funny.
Why even tell people that you have Wi-Fi?
So, yeah, and when you asked the girl that, she kind of gave you that tilted head look like, huh?
Yeah, she looked so enthused to be there. So anyways, but that's not the cool part.
It's not?
No.
Oh.
So I'm getting to that.
Okay.
Okay, so, you know, Joe and I go in and we have our 222 Paranormal Podcast t-shirts on.
Which are available for sale, folks.
Yes, if you want one.
We only have like two left.
I know, we got to get more.
Yeah.
There'll be more people. Don't worry. We'll get
yours. Don't panic. Stop trying to break our door down.
Yeah. Unless you're single and about 45 and have a good job. And then come see me. But anyways, that's a whole rabbit hole.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, we're just going off on crazy tangents. But anyways, so we go in there and we have our t-shirts on. And, you know, it's 222 Paranormal Podcast. And the nicest people came up to us. And Kyle and Michelle, we met them. She's like, I'm sorry, but I just have to ask you about your t-shirt. Well, she has a 222 connection.
Yeah, and she came up. So she's like, I don't want to seem like the weirdo. And we're like, you're coming up to us. We're like the king of weirdos.
Yeah, we love it. No, so anyways, super, super sweet people. And they were asking us about why we named it 222. And I was explaining, you know, it's my lucky number and I see it everywhere. And she had the same thing happens to her with 222.
She says it happens all the time with her with 222. And we're like, yeah.
So I think we're going to have to do a whole show just on the 222 meaning. If people don't know, like 222 is like an angelic meaning. It's like when you see it, it's like a sign from the angels. It's also a sign like something positive is going to happen. So yeah, it's so interesting because I always see it in like clusters. Like I won't see it for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then all of a sudden, one day I'll see it on like five license plates, on a phone numbers, you know, my total at the, you know, wherever I go is like $2.22. Yeah, something like that. It's so cool. So I just want to give a shout out to Kyle and Michelle in Upper Sandusky. She's a hairdresser and she has her own salon. And if you're ever in that area and need your hair done, you can go and check her out.
Do you have the name of the salon?
I think you have it over there.
Hold on, let me get the card out here.
I can't read it because, you know, I'm old and I can't see anything.
Okay, so, no, you got the card right there.
Oh, yeah, so it's Charisma Salon in Upper Sandusky. You can check them out, I'm sure, if they probably have a Facebook page.
Yes, she does.
Okay, so check that out. Just awesome. And, you know, it's funny, I have another 222 connection. There's a girl I went to high school with, and she has the same birthday as 222. So give a shout out to Rochelle. How are you doing, girl?
It's believed that George Washington's birthday is on February 22nd, even though they say that his birth date or his birth certificate says something different. But hey.
Yeah. And I grew up on Valley Forge Street, which is like, you know, George Washington connection. And they wanted to name me Georgiana. Thank God they didn't.
Oh.
But no offense to anybody named Georgiana out there. But, you know, like, you know, Jennifer's a little bit more my style.
More your style.
My style. My style.
Here we are babbling again. Yeah. But we wanted to talk to you about the Gill House. That was so cool. And National Ghost Hunting Day was awesome. We met a lot of great people, really cool people. I mean, everybody had great stories.
Oh, I said amazing.
Amazing. That's five.
Blah, blah, blah. I think I might have to put like a swear jar, but like for the word amazing, every time I say it, I got to put a quarter in and probably be rich by the end of this
It'll pay for our our website and our bandwidth.
Yeah, really.
Buy stickers, folks. We need to pay for our bandwidth.
Support your girl. We need like sticker sugar daddies. $2. Make you holla.
She's getting goofy, folks. We're gonna have to wrap this up.
Oh my gosh,
we are gonna wrap this up for today because Jen is getting
out of control. Goofy. Yeah, wild.
So anyway, folks, if you get a chance, check out the Gill House. They definitely need some funding.
Yeah, show your sport, go on a ghost hunt. You know, all the money that they raise goes towards the preservation. And mm-hmm. that goes for a lot of the locations, you know, whether it's Collingwood Art Center, the Gill House, or, you know, any of the other, you know, maybe Trans-Allegheny and Waverly Hills. So definitely, you know, your hard-earned money goes to support to keep these places open so we can all go in and enjoy it and investigate in future.
Exactly. And some of the places charge more than others, but it's really worth it. It's you're getting your entertainment. You're getting to see ghosts. You're getting to help out the fact that we're getting evidence to prove that the afterlife exists.
Yep.
And you're helping out the place. So anyhow, folks, thanks for listening to this Babble Fest.
Yes, Babylon.
Babylon.
Babylon, Joe, Babylon.
And remember, please, please, please get on there. And wherever you get your podcast from, please leave us a positive rating and review. And
we'd love to hear from you. Check us out on Facebook. And we will talk to you next week.
All right, folks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Happy ghost hunting.